Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight in our spirit, in our attitude, in our conduct, especially with one another. Lord, I pray for this church that you would continue to build and work and strengthen this church. Lord, this doesn't just happen. Lord, a lot of hard work has gone into this place. And of course, there's still hard work that needs to be done. Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen Brother Ross and his family and the people that labor and work here. Lord, I pray that you'll give them victory and help them to go forward in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. How oft shall I forgive my brother that sins against me? Till seven times? Peter had an honest question there for the Lord. And it's amazing the answer that the Lord gave him. He said, I say not unto thee till seven times, but until 70 times seven. 490 times. Now I've got a sneaking idea that if you forgive somebody for something 490 times, that you'll forgive them 491, 92, 93, 94, 95. I think that's the implication here. In other words, you and I as Christians, we need to develop a heart of forgiveness. Now, it's important that we forgive. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he's looking at that angry mob that's saying, crucify him, crucify him. Let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And yet the spirit of Jesus was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No doubt I'm talking to some people tonight that you have unforgiveness in your heart. In a congregation this big, there's bound to be some that you're carrying resentment. You've got some resentment against somebody in this place. Or you've got some resentment against somebody in your family. These things build over a period of time. They don't just happen, they come over a long period of time many times. And you know, you and I need to develop a spirit of forgiveness. Unforgiveness brings resentment, and resentment brings more resentment, brings hatred. It brings all kinds of unkind things that really hurt you more than it does the other person. Unforgiveness brings heartache. Brings heartache to you. And so you want to develop a spirit of forgiveness, of forgiving your brother or your sister. Unforgiveness brings about strife. What does it take to get rid of the strife? You know why I know that I'm speaking to some people tonight that are guilty of this? Because I pastor a church. And it's everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. And you need to get rid of the resentment. You need to get rid of the heartaches. You need to get rid of the strife. And let God work in your heart. How oft shall I forgive my brother? Till seven times? Nay, I say unto thee, until 70 times seven. 490 times for the same thing. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, it just shows us the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why I know that I can go to Him when I can't go to anybody else? Because I know that he understands. I know that he doesn't, he's going to judge my sin. If I sin, he's going to judge that. But at the same time, I know that he understands. The Bible says that he was tempted in all forms such as we are, yet without sin. So he knows what we're going through. And so we need to develop a spirit of forgiveness one for another. Now, we're supposed to be walking together as a church. In this community, in this area, you're supposed to be walking together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" You're not going to be able to walk with somebody unless you are in agreement with them. That does not mean that you have to agree with them on everything that they believe and think, but you can have a spirit of agreement. And I believe you have that in this church, and thank the Lord for that. But I'm just wondering who I'm talking to tonight that maybe needs to work on that area in your life. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Forgiving covers a multitude of sin, and it's Christ-like. When we forgive, we're being like Christ. Shouldn't we want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ? Because forgiving is to be Christ-like. And forgiveness becomes a very important part of our makeup as a Christian. We had a funeral of a lady in our church four or five months ago. Had her funeral there at the church, and her stepson attended the funeral. And he came up to me afterwards, and he said, "Brother Russ," he said, "I want to apologize to you for something that I did about 30 years ago. I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, you told me one time that I needed to get in this church and I needed to get to start serving the Lord. And he said, "I told you I'd never come to this church." And he said, "Brother Russ," he said, "I am sorry. I had no idea what he was talking about." You know what I mean? Here's the thing. I had no idea that he had any resentment toward me whatsoever. He carried that around for about 30 years, and I didn't even know it. And many times you can do that. You can carry something around, and the person that is hurting is you. You're not helping the other person, and you're certainly not helping yourself. It's a strange thing, but brothers and sisters will carry grudges that go back to their childhood. You know what the Bible says? Forgive, forgive, forgive. Now, it is true that brothers and sisters will have a tendency to go their own way. They all are different. They have different personalities. They have different influences in their life. But, you know, let's just forgive. And let's just love one another as Christ has loved us. I want you to remember this statement if you don't remember another thing about this message tonight. Forgiving benefits the forgiver more than the forgiven. Remember that. Forgiving benefits the forgiver more than the forgiven. You need to listen to that. Church members many times will carry grudges one for another. And it should not be. I heard the story. It was supposed to be a true story. I didn't witness it, but I heard the story about a revival meeting going on years ago in this church. And the piano player was playing at the time of invitation, just as I am. And the preacher had preached on forgiving and getting right with God. And this lady walked from the back of the church up to the piano player she was playing. She said, "Would you please forgive me?" And the piano player looked at her and said, "I'll never forgive you for what you did to me. I'll never forgive you for what you did to me." And the story goes that the lady on the piano fell over dead with a heart attack. You see, you're the one that suffers when you don't forgive. You say, "Well, you just don't know what's been done to me, or you just don't know what they did." No, none of us know that, but we've all done enough against the Lord that we ought to be so thankful that God has forgiven us that we're willing to forgive others as He has forgiven us. You know, matter of fact, isn't that what the Bible says? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Our forgiveness is according to the forgiveness that we give. God gives it back to us. I wonder how many of the 3,000 people that got saved on Pentecost were at the cross crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" I don't know. May have been some. And here on the day of Pentecost, here they are turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and getting saved, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You know, many times what this boils down to is a mental battle that's going on between people. And you, in your mental battle, you come in many times you men know what I'm talking about. Many times you men will come in, your wife won't be acting just right, and you'll say, "What's wrong?" "Nothing." And I'm telling you, when the dam does break, whoa, you get washed away. And many times it becomes a mental battle. And the thing of it is that, you know, my battle is not against you. And your battle is not against me. Matter of fact, the Bible says that put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and then praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, I don't have a battle with you. But if I move to Jasonville, Indiana, and I join this church, it may be in no time flat, I'd have a few people say, "Well, I don't agree with Brother Russ." And that little mental thing would start. You know what I mean? I have it in my church, and no doubt that you have it in your church. And somebody says, "What's wrong?" You say, "Nothing. It's not me, it's everybody else that's messed up." You know what I mean? I mean, I'm nothing wrong with me. But it becomes a mental battle. In every battle, if it's going to be won, somebody must surrender. I think of the song, "I surrender all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I surrender all." Wouldn't it be something if you and I could just get to the point in our lives where that we just lift up holy... You know, this lifting up holy hands is not praise and worship. You know what this lifting up of holy hands is? If somebody pulls a gun on you and says, "Get your hands up," you know, "I give up." It's a sign of surrender. Wouldn't it be something if every one of us could come to the point in our life of where we just surrender? I surrender all. All to Jesus I freely give. And so in a battle, somebody has got to win and somebody has got to lose. And by the way, God always wins. And he needs to win in your life. And ultimately, he will win in your life. So the question is, how long will we battle? How long will we take into ourselves these mental battles upon ourselves and carry on with them? I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Unto whosoever much is given, much is required. So is there someone tonight that you need to forgive, that has done you wrong, that has sort of gone against you in some way? You're not going to change that person. It may be somebody out in the community. It may be somebody somewhere else. It may be a brother or sister that's moved across the country. But the truth is, forgiveness is more important for you than it is for the forgiven.